This is Natasha with Talk to the Hand, and I'm here with John Silliman Dodge. Hello, John.
Hello, Natasha. How are you?
I am very excited to be here. I'm in your home right now, which is decorated and adorned with so many beautiful things, so many creative elements. And you're here in Portland because you've had quite the journey in your musical history. I'm curious to know how you started in music.
Well, I've been playing guitar since I was 7 years old, so that's an early beginning. And so it's literally a part of my body at this point in time. I was a professional musician after I got out of college, and I played in a band and toured and made records. I was an ATCO recording artist, and I worked that whole life until I was about age 30, at which point I realized that the music business, while requiring talent and hard work, requires more luck. And luck is one of the things that you have no control over, yeah? It either happens to you. Some people say you make your own luck. Well, I'd say there's an X factor to success. And some people get it and some people don't. So at that point, at age 30, I had an opportunity to do a morning show at a rock station up in New Hampshire. And on a total whim, I said, what the heck? And I went from going to sleep at 4 in the morning as a musician to waking up at 4 in the morning as a morning show host. So I did that I was a host, and then I was a production director, and then we moved down to Texas to do a big rock station down there. I became a music director, finally a program director, and I'm here in Portland because I was the program director for Portland's classical music station from 2005 to 2009. So that's my radio background. But the minute I retired from radio, guess what? I went right back to my first love.
You were introduced to us via the Northwest Portland Hostel with a more unique politically motivated song you wrote called Antifa City. And you mentioned to us that while you do enjoy making those kinds of songs, that they are very time limited. And so that isn't the only kind of emphasis you put on your songwriting.
Well, exactly. Antifa City came about. You know, you grab song titles wherever they come, pull them out of the ether. A friend of mine from Texas called me up, and it was in the midst of our larger trouble last summer. And he said in his Texas twangy accent, well, how things going up there in Antifa City? And that stuck in my, I just immediately went, write that down. Sometimes, in the same way that a story writer, a novelist, will develop a character, and then the character will start to tell the writer where it wants to go. You have to give your characters leeway. I didn't intend to write a song from the perspective of a homeless person, but that's the way it came. And so with all of this political activity going on, his situation was much more fundamental and dear. And fraught. So his whole thing is, I'm leaving Antifa City in the morning. I wish I had some ham and a slice of bread. I wish I had a pillow for my head. I wish I had a home instead of sleeping in this shed. I'm leaving Antifa City in the morning. I got stuck here when my luck ran out. Now I'm just a face in the crowd. Maybe there's a dollar that you can do without. I'm leaving Antifa City in the morning. I'm headed where a man can truly hide, where the canyon walls rise up on either side, where the whippoorwill sings out her lonesome cry. My, my, I'm leaving Antifa City in the morning. There's a dancing frog and a big pink unicorn. A chicken-suited fella shows you're born. And a bunch of geezers playing ukuleles on the lawn. I'm leaving Antifa City in the morning. Everybody's asking me if I'm okay. How do you think I'm doing living in the USA? If I had a horse, I'd ride. And if I had some wheels, I'd drive. And if I had a lick of sense, I'd lick it this time. I'm leaving Antifa City in the morning. You might think that there's fires everywhere and helicopters flying through the air, but the only fire's up there in your hair, Mr. President. I'm leaving Antifa City in the morning. I'm leaving Antifa City in the morning. I'm leaving Antifa City in the morning.
You recently wrote a 5-part series for the PDX Folk Music Society, Songwriting 101, about the art of songwriting. And I'm curious to know what motivated that and really, you know, how people can engage with that when they're maybe struggling to develop songs.
We have a very active open mic community here in Portland. I was at one last night. In fact, Robin Jackson hosts and has hosts for years an event called Songwriter Soiree. And that's just one. Artichoke Music has an open mic series. The Northwest Portland Hostel has one. Alberta Abbey has an open mic series. So there are plenty of, I'll just say, amateur musicians who are writing their first song or singing it for the first time in public. And believe me, these people get overwhelming support. Oftentimes, it's like the worse you do, the more people clap for you because they understand what courage it takes to get up in front of an audience with your nerves and your muscles are all whack and you try to play your new tune, whatever it is. So, but I've been writing songs since I was a teenager, so I understand that it's part art and part craft. And the art piece is a little bit harder to define because that involves a lot of intangibles. But the craft piece is very easy to delineate. It's a process. And since I've been doing it so long, and since I'm also a teacher, guitar teacher, I understand how to describe the process and hopefully in language that is, you know, comprehensible to just about anybody, whether it's somebody who has written, you know, a dozen songs or somebody who's just starting out.
Mm. Can you tell me the first song you wrote?
Oh, that would be age 7. It was called The Old Gray Mare, and that's about all I remember. I had a second grade teacher who would, in order to chill out her active 7-year-old kids, would sit them all down on the carpet in the elementary school classroom, and she would play guitar and sing songs to them. And I just thought that was great. And so I must have told my parents about it. And I go home, and Mom, and at a certain point, Mom says, "Johnny, do you want to take guitar lessons?" I said, "Yes." So check this out. You have to keep this in context. I'm a little white boy. It's 1959 in Los Angeles. Sometime later, she comes back to me and says, "I found you a guitar teacher, and she's a Negro." And I went, that's the word we used in 1959. And I went, "Yes!" Because the only Negroes that I knew were Josh White, Harry Belafonte, Odetta, you know, people. I thought these people were magic. I thought, if you are a Negro, then it must mean that you have the music magic inside of you. And so the very first black person that I had intimate, direct contact with were my two guitar teachers, a mom and her mom. And we just sat on the floor and learned folk tunes just by ear. I've even written a song called East LA 1959, which is my tribute to my original teachers, instrumental song.
Who formed your appreciation for the art of songwriting and lyrics?
It shouldn't be a surprise, given my age, that that Bob Dylan and Paul Simon were the lyric inspirations. They're very different poets and songwriters, but they both are that. And then musically, the Beatles came to America when I was 13 and they broke up when I was 19. And the music that you experience and fall in love with during your teenage years is what informs you and that you are in love with for the rest of your life. Mm-hmm. So their sense of melody and wackiness at times, so there's all that.
What was your first concert?
Oh, first concert was Pete Seeger in Los Angeles when I was probably about 8 years old. Followed closely by Andres Segovia, the great Spanish classical guitarist, when I was around 10. We had a program, of course, everybody who goes to a concert gets a little paper program. And I asked my mother at the end of the show, can we go backstage and meet Andre Segovia? And she said, why not? And so we did. And I recall him. Andres was very fond of beautiful women. And there was a line of beautiful women that he was entertaining with his accent. And I finally got to the front of the line. And I wasn't aware of just exactly how gargantuanly big and world famous he was. So I walked up to him and I said, oh, Mr. Segovia, I play guitar too. And he taps me on the chest and he says, you practice. And guess what? That's advice I've taken all my life. I play guitar every day of my life.
So you recently did a micro concert at Cafe Artichoke and you played two great songs that I really enjoyed listening to. The 12 Participles of Reconciliation and All of My Ages. I loved the former because it reminded me of my university linguistics class and that versatile verb, participles. And the latter, All of My Ages, was very poignant. None of us are getting any younger. And I appreciated so much some of the lyrics in that when you speak of being a tearaway teenager. Yeah. But you also had a line in there from Shakespeare. We sweat, we fret, and we flutter our hour on the stage. Can you speak to why you chose that and what that meant to you in that song?
I paraphrase Shakespeare. I don't think that's an exact exact quote. I don't think he said flutter. And I just chose that for the alliteration. We fret and we flutter. We sweat and we fret and we flutter our hour on the stage. As I get older, I realize quite a few things. One, there is a common humanity that we all share that is inside us. No matter where you are in the world, no matter what race or religion you have, that if we can stop listening to our government, we're all the same people. And I have an Israeli guitar student, and he and I this morning were talking about everything that's going on in the war. And we both agreed, if we could get the old people to just shut up and get the children together who naturally love one another, we could see a world, if not free of war, certainly more peaceful than the one that we have. And I've lost the track. What was your original question?
It was just more about the context of using that quote in the song, because it speaks so much of your road of life.
Right. Well, I'll have to play the song for you. That's what we'll do.
Okay.
All right, this song is called All of My Ages. I used to be young, you wouldn't know it to look at me now. I used to be big with the ladies, oh baby, and how. Then time and its wisdom just carried me straight down the road. Now my brain's overflowing with all the stuff I don't know. Skip a heartbeat when I see a real pretty girl. That don't make me a weirdo, it just proves that I'm still in this world. Seems like all of my stages and changes have rolled into one. I'm the king of the universe and really just one mother's son. I carry all of my ages inside me and I carry them well. I'm a baby, a toddler, a tyke, a teenager from hell. I'm a captain of industry, a sharply dressed retiree. When I'm down in the home, won't you come pay a visit to me? I caught my reflection in a shop window over on Main. I thought, who is that geezer with hair plastered flat by the rain? And then, holy smoke, sweet Jesus, that senior is me. How the hell did that happen so quickly, so completely? Smarter than you are when you're 22. Oh, but my darling, I'll tell you, I've got one on you. You'll proceed to grow deeper as experience piles on the weight. I just wish you'd stop being quite so serious before it's too late. The first time I saw my new baby and all of her charms, I remember the flood of emotions and her strong mother's arms. Next thing I know, I was walking her straight down the aisle. As I gave her away, her eyes kissed me and twinkled a smile. There once was a time when old William Shakespeare was really the rage. He said we fret and we sweat and we flutter our hour on the stage. We walk on four legs in the morning, two in the afternoon, then three legs in the evening, and the whole show is over too soon. I carry all of my ages inside me and I carry them well. I'm a baby, a toddler, a tyke, a teenager from hell. A captain of industry, a sharply dressed retiree. When I'm down in the home, won't you come pay a visit to me? When I'm down in the home, won't you come pay a visit to me?
Oh, John.
Oh, John. Oh, John. Oh, talk to me with your English accent, my dear. I'll just do anything you tell me to do.
John, that really is so beautiful. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you taking a minute to share that with me now and with our listeners. I really enjoyed walking through a lot of the songs in your YouTube channel. It was an absolute pleasure to get to know you without having ever met you before. And I think that's the wonderful element of a musician that really cares and loves their lyrics, that you can never meet someone, yet you feel closer to them than maybe some other people that are in their lives do.
Yeah. Good point.
So is there any piece of music that you still haven't tackled yet? Is there any kind of avenue on the guitar that you think, oh, that makes me uncomfortable, I'm not sure I'm ready for that yet?
Like any musical instrument, guitar is a journey that you never get to the end of. And if you do think you're at the end of it, you haven't thought about it clearly enough. So I just continue to learn. I've learned a lot from the classical players that I know. Scott Kreitzer is one, Peter Zisa is another, Maria Olaya, all Portland-based classical players. I have shifted to fingerstyle guitar from playing with a pick for decades because observing those classical players, I see what greater dexterity and facility and range they have playing with their full hand rather than twang, twang, twang with a pick. So I'm still learning how to do that, to be a fingerstyle player, whether it's on a nylon string in a classical mode or on a steel string. So is there a genre? I don't look at it that way because whatever next song I write is going to be so different than the last one I write that I don't have any rap music yet, but maybe that's something to yet explore.
I read that you had recently donated a song as a fundraising item for Artichoke Music, where you interviewed a top bidder and wrote their life story in a song. So is that something different that you hadn't done before?
Indeed. I had never done that before, and I looked at it. First of all, I love Artichoke Music. They perform a very valuable service and have for a long time here in our community. It's the one true acoustic music listening room in Portland that I'm aware of. There is a new club called Sing Acoustic that's on Sandy that is a new addition. But for being such a musical town, we need more of these places. And so anyway, to tell you the story, the top bidder came to my house and I interviewed him for several hours like a journalist in perhaps the same way you're interviewing me now. And I just wrote down his life story. Very interesting man who born in Israel, served his country in the army, but always sensed that Israel might not necessarily be his final home. He traveled the world all over North and South America looking for his place in the world. And when he finally came to the Pacific Northwest and what clinched the deal, I think he met the woman that would become his wife. Then he finally felt, okay, I've reached my home. And so I just took his story and turned it into a song, played it back to him, and I must say he was thrilled. Right? So is this something that I commission songs? No, but it was a great challenge. And because I had good material to work with, I think I made a good song out of it.
It's a great auction option. I think it's very, very unique, and it would be very flattering to have a song written. I mean, obviously, there are many songwriters out there that have written songs for better or worse about the people that they've had in their lives. I'm curious, is that a form of songwriting that's kind of improvisation in a sense? You are steered by someone else's experiences and your interpretation of those experiences, that's quite unique, and I can imagine that poses some difficulties of what do I include, how do I talk about this?
Right. Well, I approach songwriting in the same way that a fictional writer would approach a short story, and in fact I've always sort of chafed at the idea that while a playwright can write anything that he or she invents in their imagination, so can a screenwriter, so can a novelist. But for some reason, when we hear a songwriter, we think it's all about them, that it's strictly autobiographical. And I reject that because it's too tight a box. If I want to invent a character and then inhabit that character, who is not me, who doesn't feel like I feel, who is a homeless guy, for example, I do my best to dip into empathy skills and become that person. Mm. So in that sense, this was not hard. I just had to read his life and try to become him and then write prose that also rhymed and had some rhythm and then find chords for it. So there you go.
Yeah. Okay, one of my more insightful questions is one band for the rest of your life. So whenever you listen to music, you can only listen to one band.
There's a young woman from South Texas named Sarah Jarosz who played when Garrison Keillor took his Prairie Home Companion show around the country. He played here at the Portland Zoo. And he always had a special musical guest. And this is, oh, I'm going to say, 15 years ago. So at that point, Sarah, I think, was probably 20 years old. She was the musical guest. And she came on stage, and every hair on the arms just stood straight up. It was just a goosebump performance. I was witnessing an old soul in a young body. Her musicianship, the sound of her voice, her lyrical choices, the cover songs that she chose and then rearranged very artistically. So I have been a close follower of Sarah Jarosz. She also plays with two other people whose names, of course, escape me now, but they're musicians that you know, in a band called I'm With Her. And so these folks win Americana awards every day, you know. So there. So if you make me choose, I'm a Sarah Jarosz fan.
Okay, wonderful. Not a name I'm familiar with, but yeah. We'll certainly look that up in the collection. I recently did an interview with Andre Middleton, who is one of the key members of Friends of Noise, which is an organization that helps anybody, but especially younger people, to engage with music, not just in a sense of listening to music and having a safe space to do that, but also to learn about how to play music, learn about the music industry. I'm curious to know of your many years of being in the music industry. So what are some of the lessons that younger artists should be aware of?
Last year, I performed for a group of middle school students. And these young folks are all, of course, raging with hormones. So I played songs and talked about the topic that you're asking me about now. And I found that the majority of them want to learn how to play music, any instrument, and write songs so that they can become fabulously famous and wealthy. And so the first thing I say to them is, you don't do this for that reason. That might come about if you have the talent, the drive, and the luck. But you don't do it for that reason. You do it as an expression of personal joy and pleasure. Another thing I said, if you're not willing to put in the work, you'll never get far down the road. Mm-hmm. You know, you have to love it to the point where you spend time, you know, if not 7 days a week, 5 days a week. And I don't care if it's 15 minutes or 20 minutes or 3 hours. You have to put in the work because that's the only road to improvement. I think because we're in a video saturated age, that everybody is all sexed out with the drama and the flash and the lights, right? When you're a younger person, you don't see all the hurdles and the funky roads that you have to walk down and work you have to put in order to achieve that. You only see the end result. So if I'm talking to young people about music, I say you do this for the love of it, for the pure joy of self-expression. Writing, playing, sometimes it's only one or only the other, sometimes it's a combination of the two. And then if you are extraordinary and you have the talent and the drive and the single-mindedness, then perhaps this career is for you. But can I add one last caveat? Have a backup plan.
Do you have anybody who has approached you after a gig to speak to how you affected them with your song? Anybody who was touched very deeply by some of the lyrics that you give out?
Well, let's refer back to the song that was custom written for Avi Ben-Zaken. That's Avi's name, the Israeli man who was the top bidder for the Artichoke Music custom song. He was an immigrant. And he traveled the world and looked for his home, and he was exploited in the big city like so many immigrants are. And so when I wrote Avi's song into a song, I was not only writing for him, which I had to explain to him ahead of time. You are going to become a character in your own song, but we're going to make your character emblematic, symbolic of all of the people who are going through the universal immigrant experience. And so now when I play that song, people are touched by it because it's not just one person's song. It reflects everybody who is displaced from their country, who is looking for their home.
John, has anybody ever written a song about you?
Not to my knowledge. I'd be happy to hear it if... Maybe.
Well, if there's anyone out there that would like to write a song about John Silliman Dodge, then please feel free to contact X-Ray FM. John, it's been such a pleasure to talk with you. I really appreciate your time. You are an absolutely gifted musician and lyricist. If people want to connect with you, what are the best ways for them to contact you or engage with your content?
Oh, sure. Just like most musicians, I have a website that is John Dodge, like the car, johndodgemusic.com. So my calendar is there, all the tunes, the concert, the YouTube video links. And I have a mailing list like most musicians, and I'll be happy to, I won't spam you, but if you sign up, I'll just keep you appraised of where the gigs are. And it's as simple as that.
John, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you today. Thank you so much. This is Talk to the Hand, and I've been talking with John Silliman Dodge. Thank you so much.
My pleasure, Natasha. Thank you for having me.